Well, good morning. It's good to be with you folks here. We, ourselves, our family, we got to enjoy going down to Ontario this summer as EMC convention was in London. And so we definitely appreciated that time there. Got to connect with the big EMC family. Had a lot of sharing on missions and church planting throughout the whole weekend. It was a great weekend there. And also got to see some friends and some relatives. So thank you for sending me as a delegate to the convention. I think we're going to take some time one of these days to share more specifically about that. I'm going to start with a little parenting tip. It's pretty basic. It's not too complicated. Most of you know it. And if you haven't figured it out yet, you will very quickly. If you're raising young kids, have boxes. Kids love boxes. At least I loved boxes as a kid. Our kids have definitely loved boxes. There's all kinds of reasons to love boxes, right? Pizza comes in boxes. Everyone's happy when the pizza person walks through the door. Toys come in boxes, right? Isn't it odd how at Christmas time we spend all kinds of money on a really cool big gift, and then at a certain age they play more with the box than with the gift? Mornings, cereal comes in boxes, right? Kids love their breakfast cereal. If any of you is going to want to walk out with that, my daughter will be chasing you. Diapers come in boxes. Some of you are waiting to get rid of these boxes. You just can't wait to burn them all and get rid of them. But they're actually pretty handy for toddlers. I mean, it's a perfect size. If the kids are complaining, just pop them in the box, and they're going to have a good time for a few minutes, right? A little break. There's all kinds of good boxes. And the bigger the box, the more stuff you can do with it, right? You can build forts. You can build towers, restaurants, all kinds of stuff. All different shapes and sizes of boxes. And interesting little story on this one. When I was getting it out of the youth room, kind of cleaning out all the styrofoam cups, I found this little guy in the bottom. It's almost as if one of the youth leaders was trying to hide it from the youth. I don't know why Rhonda would do that. Right? Kids love boxes. We use boxes all the time. We like boxes. Unless there's some kind of weird box phobia that I don't know about. But we use boxes all the time. As guys, we like to organize our lives into boxes. Maybe all of us do that. But I like to think about one thing at a time, if at all possible. Ask Valine. We like boxes, right? This is my work box, maybe my family box. Here's my entertainment box. Here's finances. Here's future and education, right? All different boxes, all different categories. I like to kind of think of one thing at a time, and this is where I am right now. I'm in my work box, so don't talk to me about maybe supper or food. I don't know, right? We have all different kinds of boxes, and then we have our faith box. We have our spiritual life box. Now, don't read too much into the size of that box. Bibles just don't come in boxes as big as cereal boxes, right? But we categorize things all the time. And I think we do that with our faith, too. How often have you been asked, how is your spiritual life going? I've asked that question lots of times. How is your spiritual life going? Because I'm thinking of a specific category, and I'm probably going to answer based on whether I've been reading my Bible this last week, whether I've been doing devotions or praying some specific practices. That's what I think of when I think of my spiritual life box. But a while ago, came across an interesting quote by John Ortberg, and he says, God isn't interested in your spiritual life. He's just interested in your life. God isn't interested in just one small little part of my life. He's not interested in just one little box in my life. God is actually interested in every part of my life. He's interested in every single part of your life. And so last week, Peter Ruppel started us off on a series about spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines, these are things that we can choose to do, things that we intentionally do. And we don't do them so that God will love us more. We don't do them so that we're going to become holier than our neighbor somehow. A spiritual discipline is something that we do basically to make room in our life, to make room in our day for God. It's a way that we invite Jesus into our day. If you think of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it's a way that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. It's a way that we allow God to transform us by the renewing of our minds. This is what a spiritual discipline is meant to do, to let God transform us. So now usually when I think of a spiritual discipline, I think of reading my Bible. I think of prayer or maybe solitude. And these are excellent spiritual disciplines. But this week's discipline has surprised me a little bit. It's definitely caused me to think and to grow these last couple weeks. And you would have seen on the screen this week's is gratitude. Gratitude is something that we can choose to practice. It's something that we can choose to do. And it's something that's going to take God out of that little box that we sometimes have him in. It's something that will break down the barriers that keep me from experiencing God in my work, that keep me from experiencing him in my family life, in my relationships. God is actually interested in what I do at my work, how I interact with people. He's actually interested in how I treat people when I play hockey or when I meet someone in the store. Right? God isn't interested just in the first 10 minutes of my day. He's not just interested in Sunday morning. He's interested in my life. And gratitude, I'm finding, is something I can choose to do that'll take God out of that little box so I can experience him in all of my life. Because God isn't just interested in your spiritual life. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 17? We're going to read here about the story of the 10 lepers. So Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. So here Jesus is already on his journey to the cross. He's already set his face toward Jerusalem. He's going to make that sacrifice. And here's something that happens along the way. Verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Let's pause there for a second. Obviously, these 10 people, they had heard about Jesus. They had heard the rumors about Jesus, the stories about Jesus. Here's a man who can control nature. He can calm the storm by saying a word. Here's a man who has compassion on people, a man who can heal anybody. He can even drive out demons. He can raise someone from the dead. Jesus is coming here. Let's go find him. They knew that Jesus was their best hope for being healed from this terrible disease called leprosy. If you read in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, you can see that if someone was a leper, they were actually physically cut off from the rest of the community. They could have nothing to do with the rest of the community. Leviticus 13, verse 45, says that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" Can you imagine that every time you see someone? He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine getting this life sentence? You can forget your career. You can forget your education. You can forget living with your family, your wife and your kids. You can forget going to your parents' place to see them. You can forget what it feels like to get a high five from somebody or to get a hug on a special occasion. You can forget sitting around the table with your friends or enjoying a campfire together. You're an outcast now. You're not allowed to come near anyone else in the community because they just might catch your disease. You're unclean. But these men heard that Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. So they went to find him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And we read in verse 14, Jesus' response. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Leviticus chapter 14 requires people, if they had been healed from their disease or if the disease went away, they had to first go to the priest to be certified as clean. The priest would tell them if they were actually clean or not. And so Jesus told them to do this. Go and show yourselves to the priests. But when he said it, he hadn't healed them yet. sometimes he would reach out and touch somebody. Sometimes he would make some mud and put it on the person's eyes to heal them. But this time, he gave them a command to do something without having healed them yet. So he was giving them a chance to exercise faith, to see whether they would obey his instruction or not. So all 10 of them decided, yes, I'm going to obey his instructions. They turn, they start heading off to find the priest, and we don't know how far they had gotten. And on the way, they're healed of this terrible disease. Can you imagine what it would feel like? I mean, years. How many years have you been living with this disease? And now suddenly it's gone. Can you imagine the freedom that would come with that? The opportunity to get together with your family again, to see those you love, to hold them, to be with them, to have your job back, to have your home back. This is huge. This is a huge life change for these people. Jesus had come through and Jesus had healed them in an incredible way. There's an interesting finish to this story. In verse 15 to 19, it says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" All 10 of these men, all 10 of these lepers had something in common, right? They had this terrible disease. They were bound up by this disease. They all believed that Jesus was someone who could help them. They all asked Jesus to show them mercy, and they all responded in faith when he said, "Go to the priest and you'll be healed." So they all responded in faith. But here's where the Samaritan stood out. When he realized the significance of what had just happened to him, he didn't run out to party it up with his friends. He didn't keep going down the road to find the priest. He couldn't do that. He had to go back to Jesus. He went back to Jesus and he shouted praise to God, and he was laying face down in the dirt. Can you imagine the scene? And he's calling out to Jesus, "Thank you, thank you." He was moved with gratitude, and he couldn't go on until he had turned back to say thank you to Jesus. Gratitude isn't just a feeling. Gratitude wasn't just something we're meant to keep inside, but it's ultimately something that we need to express to someone else. When we realize just how amazing it is that we have received something, we need to express that thanks to the one who gave it to us, to God. 10 men had the same experience. 9 of them chose not to go back and thank Jesus. 1 of them chose gratitude. Which group do I fit into? Which group do you fit into? Are you one of the 1? Or are you one of the 9? Or are you in the group of 1? Are we thankful people? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if we can get it to advance here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Julie, do you want to put it forward for me? Thank you. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." If you're getting points for memorizing verses at camp, this is a good one for you. It's short, but it's 3 verses, right? Some incredible commands. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. In every circumstance. Sometimes it's easy to give thanks to God, right? When things are going well, when we're having fun, we're enjoying close relationships with family, we're healthy, it's easy for us to give thanks. When we've been on a retreat, when we're at summer camp, and we're seeing God come through in huge ways, and he's changing hearts and changing lives. When the leper is healed, it's easy to be thankful. But very often, it's a fight for me to be thankful. It's a fight for us to express gratitude, because there's always more things that I could have. No, actually, there's more things that I deserve to have. I should have more things. Why should I be grateful for what I have right now? I get greedy and I start to grumble. Sometimes gratitude is hard because somebody's hurt me. Or maybe somebody has just done something really dumb and I'm not feeling good about myself. So I want to make myself look better. I make them look bad. I look better. I gossip. Gratitude is hard when I'm focused on gossip. Gratitude is a fight sometimes because I get distracted. I get busy. I get overwhelmed by difficult circumstances. Sometimes in our life, I mean, we see it in our prayer requests. Sometimes we are in the middle of truly brutal circumstances, and it's hard to be grateful. My God box seems so far away, and this box is so huge, and I don't know if I'm ever going to find my way out. So I worry. Gratitude is hard because I've done a pretty good job by myself. I've worked hard, trying to do the right thing. I don't want anyone to point out my flaws. I don't want them to talk about my mistakes. I battle pride. Choosing gratitude is hard for us. So why should we do it? Why should we choose to express gratitude to God? I think simply put, it opens the door for us to experience God in all of our life. And this is something that I guess I've been experiencing personally the last week here is when I actually give gratitude in the middle of everyday things, I begin to experience God far beyond just my devotional times. I begin to experience God in family relationships, friendships. I experience him when I'm worrying, when I'm battling with pride. It opens the door to experience God in every single part of your life. And it makes room for God to change my heart. It makes room for God to transform me. Let's think of the reasons we struggle with gratitude. If we think of greed and grumbling, if we choose gratitude over greed and grumbling, we end up with contentment, right? We thank God for what he's given us. We recognize that he's always cared for me along the way. He's given me enough. He's taken care of me. And suddenly I get his perspective and I realize, you know what? I'm going to be okay because God will take care of me. He has taken care of me. He has a future for me. So I can say thank you even in a time when I don't know what's going to happen, even in a time when it doesn't feel like I have enough. I can start recognizing him in my work, in my finances, in my future. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 talks about godliness with contentment being great gain. Godliness with contentment is great. It's so much greater than the love of money. It talks about those who have pursued the love of money, those who have been eager for more money, many of them have abandoned the faith, and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. Gratitude can bring us contentment. There's gossip. If you choose gratitude over gossip, you give grace. Stop and think about it for a second. How many times has God forgiven you? How many times has he forgiven me? How many times has he shown me mercy? Has he been patient with me when I'm not actually catching on to what he's trying to teach me? How many mistakes have I made? And yet God keeps giving me grace, keeps forgiving me. When I recognize this, when I express thanks to God for what he's done for me, I can actually give grace to other people. So I don't need to talk about what they've done to all the people around me. I can give grace because I've been given grace. And I can recognize it when I'm grateful. Worry. If we choose gratitude over worry, I think we get peace. We get trust. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. These are some verses that I've prayed I don't know how many times. So often I've prayed these verses when it feels like I'm getting all knotted up inside or when something stressful is coming up and I'm worried. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've read those verses and prayed those verses a lot, but one part that I've missed so often is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When I'm worried, I need to thank God in my prayers. And that's something that's been sticking out to me the last couple weeks. Even in the middle of stress and worry, choose to thank God. When I choose to thank God, I realize, you know what? There's a lot of good going on. God has my back. He has my future. I can be thankful, even if this mountain in front of me looks really huge. And I realize some of you are in situations that are pretty huge. Finding three things a day to be thankful for might not be the only thing you need to do to find peace. But it's a part of it. Giving thanks to God is a part of finding peace, finding freedom from worry in the middle of any situation we're in. When we choose gratitude over pride, I think we get rich relationships. If we're proud, we're not going to have close relationships with each other. We're not going to have close relationships with God. And this one brings us right back to where we started with our opening illustration. The fact that God wants our whole lives. God wants your life. He wants my life, not just our spiritual life. Gratitude grows relationship with God. I'm thinking the Samaritan leper, the one who actually turned back after he was healed, the one who thanked Jesus, I'm thinking he had a pretty different relationship with Jesus than all the other guys. I think he would have had a much more personal and open relationship. He would have remembered Jesus, right? Gratitude builds relationships. If you listen to CIM, you probably hear her speak once in a while. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth puts it this way. She says, be thankful because God has commanded it. Right? 1 Thessalonians, we read that, to be thankful. He's commanded it for our good and for his glory. God's command to be thankful is not the threatening demand of a tyrant. Rather, it is the invitation of a lifetime, the opportunity to draw near to him at any moment of the day. God wants us to draw near to him. And gratitude, expressing thanks to God in the middle of your day, with any part, whether it's going great or whether you're really struggling, gratitude can be a way for you to experience God and draw near to God in the middle of your day. God desires this. He wants us to draw near. He wants relationship with us. I've struggled with that thought at sometimes. How can I do that? Is this real? Is it just for some Christians, or does God want relationship with anybody? Can I have relationship? And then I found all over the Bible, scattered all the way through from the Old Testament to the New. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love. Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. God loves us. He loves and he chooses us. The Christmas story, Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God desires to be with us. Jesus' name means God is with us. And Philippians 3 verse 8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul talks as if he can actually know Jesus as a being, as a person, some kind of personal relationship. God wants an actual relationship with us. He wants our life, not just 10 minutes in the morning or Sunday morning. God wants every box, every part of our life. He doesn't just want a house and an address in heaven for us. He actually wants to walk with us now. He's offering to walk with us now for us to be able to draw near to him. And the reason I say these things is, well, the way it connects with gratitude, if we want this relationship with God, we're going to need to practice gratitude. Relationships need gratitude. Think about the parent-child relationship for a little bit. Well, kind of as a picture of this relationship. Mom and dad spend a lot of years, a lot of time working hard, trying to provide for their kids. They invest in their kids. They try to build a close relationship with their kids, right? And then the teenager turns 16, and there's the question, that age-old question. Can I have the car? Can I take the car out? Gratitude. A grateful 16-year-old is going to recognize that actually they're not obligated to give me the car for the evening. It actually takes a lot of money to pay for this vehicle, to maintain it, to insure it, to fill it up with gas. It's a lot of trust because, you know, things can happen. I don't actually know how to drive that well yet. Gratitude recognizes these things, right? A 16-year-old, when they're actually grateful, when they say thank you to mom and dad, when they care about the vehicle, when they care about mom and dad and appreciate the gift, you're going to have relationship, right? That opens the door for trust. It opens the door for more conversation and for more responsibility even as you show gratitude to mom and dad. But the 16-year-old, the new driver who doesn't practice gratitude, who just demands to take the car or just actually grabs the keys and walks out the door, right? The 16-year-old who maybe complains about the car all the time. Like, why should I have to drive this old vehicle when all my friends have nice ones? Like, let's say a 1994 Ford Taurus. I know someone who that was the first vehicle they had to drive. And the GMC truck was way cooler. Now, why would I want to drive the car? Well, dad has the truck at work. Oh. Right? If we aren't expressing gratitude to our parents, we're not going to have a terribly close relationship right about then. And it's not so different with God. If we're not expressing gratitude to God, we're not going to have a terribly close relationship with him. But if we choose gratitude, we can actually have relationship. I mean, it's hard to enjoy being around someone who's always grumbling, always complaining, always gossiping, always proud and arrogant. They're kind of like a dark cloud that just tries to steal the sunshine away from everyone else in the room, right? But if someone is grateful, we want to be around them. Gratitude builds relationships. And we need to practice gratitude. How do we do that? How can we practice gratitude? It's not terribly complicated. Let's look at what the Samaritan leper did. The leper that Jesus healed. First off, he recognized. He was walking down the road, and he was healed, and he recognized something incredible has happened in my life. Something huge has happened in my life, and Jesus is the one who did it. He recognized what had happened and who had done it. What has happened in your life? Who has done these things in your life? Psalm 100 that we read before. We need to recognize that God has made us, that we are his. Verse 3. We need to recognize that he is good, that his love endures forever, that he is faithful. Verse 5. Psalm 103 gives us more things to recognize about God in verses 3 and 4. Remember that he has forgiven your sins. He has healed your heart. He has redeemed you. Verse 5, remember that he has given you so many good things to satisfy you and to renew you. Recognize. We need to recognize something about what God has done, something about who he is. And that's something we can do every day in whatever box, in whatever category in life we think. We can recognize what God has done for us. So this leper recognized what Jesus did, then he turned around. I mean, it's not terribly complicated. Jesus is over there, so I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna go back over there. I'm gonna go back and find Jesus. The other nine lepers, they may have recognized what had happened. They may have recognized that this was a big deal and Jesus did it, but they didn't actually turn around. If we're gonna express gratitude to Jesus, we need to turn around. We need to go to Jesus. We need to find Jesus. And so maybe it's as simple as just offering up a prayer about something you have to do at work, something that's going on in school, something going on in your friendships, in your relationships. Offer up a prayer. Look for God. Invite him into your situation. And lastly, it's pretty basic. The leper said thank you. He said thank you to Jesus. Once he got back, he was praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Gratitude isn't just a feeling inside. It's something that we need to express. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 and verse 8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." Saying thank you. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's writing something in your journal. Maybe it's just passing along a blessing that you've gotten to someone else because you appreciate it so much. We need to find ways to recognize God's work, to turn around and invite him into our day, and to thank him. It can be challenging for us to do this. Because as we mentioned before, we struggle in lots of different ways. But choosing gratitude doesn't have to be terribly complicated. It can open up your whole life. It can open up each different area of your life so you can experience God there and be transformed by him because he is interested in your whole life. You and I, we're the ones missing out if we don't practice gratitude. We're the ones missing out if we don't practice it. What could we possibly lose by giving gratitude a try? Let's close in prayer. Father, you are so gracious with us. You are so merciful. You are such a good Father to us. And so we thank you this morning. Lord, help us to gain your perspective. Help us to say yes to you. Help us to grow in gratitude, we pray. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.